This is Ozarks at Large for Thursday, September 29th, 2021, and this is KUAF, a listener-supported service of the School of Journalism and Strategic Media at the University of Arkansas. I'm Kyle Kellums. Ahead tonight, the semester has started at the University of Arkansas, and some students and teachers are concerned about being exposed to the Delta variant in a classroom setting. Ozarks at Large's Matthew Moore reports on what is and isn't possible on campus to mitigate the spread of the disease. That's in about 3 minutes. Another 27 deaths from COVID-19 in Arkansas recorded in today's report from the Arkansas Department of Health. There are nearly 2,500 new cases in the last 24 hours of testing. There are 15 fewer hospitalized cases of the virus in Arkansas hospitals tonight than this time last night. And more than 15,000 doses of vaccine were administered throughout the state on Wednesday. 2,462 newly diagnosed cases in Oklahoma today, with 45 newly reported deaths, according to the Oklahoma State Department of Health. The highest degree of concern for the number of people infected with COVID-19 in a particular school district is at an all-time high in Arkansas. The Arkansas Center for Health Improvement now lists 59 school districts with at least 100 or more known infections per 10,000 district residents over a 14-day period, which AKI lists as purple zones. The previous high was 54 separate school districts recorded in mid-January. The Arkansas International, published on the University of Arkansas campus, is being recognized as a 2021 Literary Magazine Prize from the Whiting Foundation. The Arkansas International was cited as one of five publications across the country that is a essential publication on the forefront of American literary culture. The Arkansas International was founded by Jeffrey Brock, a poet and distinguished professor at the University of Arkansas. It's volleyball season in Arkansas. Arkansas Fort Smith and John Brown University teams are all playing this weekend. UAFS will have four matches at the Valdosta State Fall Tournament in Georgia. The next win for UAFS will be the 700th for Coach Jane Sargent. She'll become just one of more than 60 coaches to ever win that many games in a career. She's in her 24th season as head coach at UAFS. The first shot at win number 700 tomorrow morning at 8 against Albany State. The 5-1 Arkansas Razorback volleyball team at a tournament in Tulsa this weekend, opening with a 10 a.m. match tomorrow against Oral Roberts. The Razorbacks' next home match is the SEC opener against LSU Wednesday, the 22nd, beginning at 7 p.m. in Barnhill Arena. And John Brown University's volleyball team is also away from the Northwest Arkansas area for a tournament, this one being played in Parkville, Missouri. JBU, 5-7 overall in 2021 and 2-2 in conference, will open weekend play with a 4 o'clock match tomorrow afternoon against Oklahoma Wesleyan. Clear conditions expected throughout the KUAF listening area tonight. Lows will be in the mid-60s. For tomorrow, mostly sunny, back into the 90s. Highs tomorrow afternoon in Northwest Arkansas, lower 90s. Around 96 tomorrow afternoon for the Arkansas River Valley. This is Ozarks at Large. In late March of 2021, the University of Arkansas released a statement that they would be implementing a plan for a 100% return to campus by June 14th for all faculty and staff, and that students should expect a full return to face-to-face classes for the fall semester. This was prior to the Delta variant and the hesitancy from Arkansans to get vaccinated. By August, new COVID cases were surging, hospitals were at capacity, and the death rate was consistently high. Some faculty and instructors reached out to the university to request to teach remotely in light of the new surge, but those specific accommodations were not granted, which has some students and professors alike worried. Ozarks at Large's Matthew Moore reports.
Beth Gray is a graduate student in the Vocational Rehabilitation Program at the University of Arkansas. And Beth also has a lifelong disability.
When I was 3 months old, I was diagnosed with a condition called optic nerve hypoplasia. And what it means is that my optic nerves are underdeveloped. So it's basically like the way I explain it to people is basically the optic nerves are the road from the eye to the brain. They're kind of what communicates back and forth. And my road didn't get developed. Like I say it's like construction workers went on strike and got up and left and they didn't finish the job.
Beth says she sees light perception in her right eye and she has about 20/450 vision in her left eye.
You know, what people with 20/20 perfect vision can see from 450 feet away, I have to be within 20 feet to see it.
So for a person with a disability like that, wearing a mask in the classroom for up to 3 hours at a time is a major hindrance. Beth says the mask impacts her peripheral vision and depth perception,
which isn't good in the first place because the mask comes up to here.
Beth motions to the area just under her eyes. For her, being able to learn in a remote setting during this global pandemic, something she has already done in previous semesters, doesn't seem like a big deal. But she is not being permitted that option. And students aren't the only ones being turned down from remote learning. Many professors are being denied the option to teach their classes remotely, despite spending the last 3 semesters doing it during the COVID-19 pandemic. Hannah Gleeman is a classmate of Beth's, and she says she found out about one of her professor's accommodation situation very suddenly.
On August 20th, it was a Friday, 3 days before classes are supposed to begin for the fall 2021 semester, all of Dr. Hunter's students get an email from her, very succinct, concise email, just saying that she can no longer teach us for this semester, and she's not being accommodated for her lifelong disability. And if we have any questions, then we should ask the department chair.
To say that the university has not accommodated professors would not be entirely true, according to Terry Martin, the interim provost at the University of Arkansas.
We have offered reasonable accommodations to every instructor that has submitted a request. Now, it may not have been what they had requested, but it is. We have offered a reasonable accommodation.
Reasonable accommodation is a technical term here, not just a turn of phrase. The Equal Employment Opportunity Commission says that a reasonable accommodation is any change in the work environment or in the way a job is performed that enables a person with a disability to enjoy equal employment opportunities. The provost had a few examples of a reasonable accommodation that was offered to faculty and instructors.
Assign a teaching load to a different faculty member or a different instructor and provide the accommodate instructor with a different assignment altogether. Many times that's a reassignment to doing more research, or maybe they work with student success or advising students in lieu of the teaching. So we find another opportunity for them for that accommodation. And like I said, to my knowledge, we have not declined any accommodation. We have made reasonable accommodation. Now, we may not have approved everyone the way they had requested it because we have the essential mission of teaching face-to-face on this campus.
As the provost says, one of the accommodations offered has been to assign a teaching load to a different faculty member or a different instructor. Tamika Hunter, the professor Hannah mentioned earlier, is a woman of color who has a lifelong physical disability that requires the use of a motorized wheelchair. Beth was enrolled in a class with Dr. Hunter this semester, and the class was reassigned to another professor.
I'm taking human diversity right now, and there's 2 different classes, and one was taught by Dr. Hunter, and then another was taught by Dr. Higgins, who's another professor. She's actually the program director of the counseling department. And when Dr. Hunter was not able to teach her class, Dr. Higgins took over her class. And Dr. Higgins even said, you know, I'm going to try to do my best to teach this class, but I know that you guys will not get the same experience with me as you would have with Dr. Hunter. And she said, I want to apologize for that.
Yes, practically speaking, a different professor can take on the course load. But the students and the professors both acknowledge that it's not the same experience. The provost says the reality is the University of Arkansas prioritizes in-person classes above all else, and that the Board of Trustees has made that point to the administration as well.
So you would argue that teaching a class remotely is not in the best interest of the University of Arkansas?
I'm saying that teaching our classes face-to-face is the best interest of the University of Arkansas. That is our essential function, is delivering face-to-face courses. We are not an online university. Now, we have some online programs, but we are not an online university, and our mission is teaching face-to-face. And so we try to make accommodations to preserve that mission. So we try to reassign, we've done different things to make those accommodations reasonable. One misunderstanding is that teaching remote is an option for everyone, regardless of whether they meet the criteria for the accommodation. Remote teaching has been offered as an accommodation in a few cases, usually when the instructor is the only one qualified to teach a specific course, or the instructor meets the actual criteria for receiving an accommodation as determined by OEOC.
OEOC is the Office of Equal Opportunity and Compliance at the University of Arkansas. We heard from two different professors that were not given the accommodation to teach remotely, including Tamika Hunter, but both of those professors said they were advised to not grant interviews on the record at this time. This denial to continue remote learning for the vast majority of students and professors has left some wondering what their future looks like at the University of Arkansas. I asked a group of graduate students if they've considered taking a year off from school or applying to a different school because of this. And all three of them said yes. Hannah Gleeman jumps in.
We are all literally in a program to help people with disabilities find work, to get what they need to support themselves for their health and their happiness. That's literally what we're passionate about and our goal in our life. Okay, what does it say about us that we graduate from a university that effectively does not care about people with disabilities? Why would we want to keep giving our money and our time to a university that says, sorry, too bad, you don't matter. We don't care about you. We don't like you. Why do I want to be working in that, learning in that atmosphere?
Beth Gray again here.
It's like Dr. Higgins said in our diversity class when she was telling us, you know, I'm sorry, you're not going to get the same kind of experience or whatever. But she said, I hope we don't lose her. Like, I hope the university doesn't lose her.
The statement from March was a way to forewarn faculty and staff that there would be a full return to campus beginning in June. But the statement also included two other important points as well. It says, quote, any surge in COVID-19 infections could modify return plans as the health and safety of the campus community will continue to shape all decision making, end quote. It continues, quote, the university is also in the process of reviewing and updating its remote work policy, which will be shared with the campus as soon as possible. It is anticipated that some employees and/or campus functions may continue to work remotely if in the best interests of the university, end quote. In the month of July 2021, 232 Arkansans died of COVID-19. In August, the number was 793. Decisions on this scale are not easy. I don't envy you in your position. I feel like regardless of whatever decision you and your team make, that there's always going to be someone who is frustrated or not excited about the decision you're making. How do you deal with that sort of responsibility that regardless of what decision you make, you're going to hear from whether it's faculty, whether it's staff, that they're frustrated or disappointed with the decision you're making? How do you deal with that personally?
You know, I'll be honest, it hurts when you have complaints and attacks on you, but I understand this is part of my job. You know, somebody has to be here to help make these decisions. We listen to the faculty, pros and cons. You have people that support your decisions. You have people that are against your decisions. And, you know, try not to take it personally. As long as, you know, most of the time you listen to people and try to listen and learn from their perspective, it helps. It helps me understand where they're coming from. And sometimes it helps me change a decision even.
For Ozarks at Large, I'm Matthew Moore.
The University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences is offering virtual mental health counseling to people displaced by Hurricane Ida. Through the AR Connect program, video conference and telehealth services are available to anyone residing in Arkansas for free. Anita Rutledge, lead therapist with AR Connect, says the program offers assistance to those dealing with anxiety, depression, substance abuse, or medication management.
We are a virtual telemental health program in the state of Arkansas that was developed out of a grant. And we're here to help not only Arkansans, but anyone who may be temporarily located in Arkansas.
The program is free of charge, regardless of a patient's insurance status, and no medical referral is required to access the program. However, Rutledge says anyone seeking treatment must reside in Arkansas, even if temporarily.
So they can reach us primarily through phone call, and that initiates an intake. And then they'll be assigned typically within a week. We can start to provide services.
She says since starting AR Connect in 2020, UAMS has seen a growing need for accessible mental health services.
We have a lot of first-time recipients of mental health treatment. We've had a number of calls from our rural communities in Arkansas who have limited access. What we've seen on a larger scale is recently that it's become acceptable a form of treatment. Just like healthcare, mental health care is important, and it should be part of our routine as much as possible.
AR Connect is funded through a grant from the federal government's Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. The 24-hour call center is available at 501-526-3563 or 800-482-9921. We'll repeat those numbers at the end of today's Ozarks at Large.
Writer A.J. Jacobs decided to teach himself to be grateful.
It doesn't come to me naturally. My default mood is more Larry David than Mr. Rogers.
The ideas that helped A.J. go from grouchy to grateful, and how you can too.
You have to work at it. You have to work at acknowledging people and being grateful.
That's next time on the TED Radio Hour from NPR.
The TED Radio Hour. Sunday afternoon at 1 on KUAF and streaming at KUAF.com. The University of Arkansas Fort Smith will conduct an observation of the 20th anniversary of the September 11th attacks tomorrow morning with a public memorial beginning at 11 at the campus flagpoles on Kincaid Avenue. Comments will be made by Dr. William Jamkan, Assistant Professor of Political Science, and Dr. Teresa Riley, UAFS Chancellor.
Appleseeds invites guests to An Evening at the Farm, Saturday, October 9th. This fundraising dinner features a one-of-a-kind meal with locally sourced produce crafted by a team of four chefs, including Matt Cooper, a cocktail hour by Maxine's Tap Room and Noble Gray's, live music, and more. AppleseedsNWA.org/events for tickets. Those interested in the Farm School 2022 are invited to the Center for Arkansas Farms and Food Open House on Monday, September 13th from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. This event features a guided tour, conversations with current students, introduction to the CAFF team, and more. NWAFarmEvents.org for more information.
A new study from the Walton Family Foundation's Home Region Program makes five recommendations to help Northwest Arkansas take on affordable housing challenges. The report suggests cities in the region reform zoning codes to encourage the development of more affordable housing, adopt a regional approach with public, private, and nonprofit sectors working across municipal boundaries, and take on a balanced housing and transportation ideal to encourage developments in cost-effective, efficient locations to accommodate population growth, support new transit options, and reduce household costs. We'll have much more about this report on an upcoming edition of Ozarks at Large.
Time now for today's Northwest Arkansas Business Journal report. I'm Paul Gatling. On today's program, we'll get some perspective on the regional home building market from Aaron Wilkerson, who is the owner of Constellation Properties in Bentonville. We begin, though, with news from one of the state's largest banks, with its eye on the future of banking. Arvest Bank announced Tuesday the hiring of Melanie Fuller as president of Digital Banking Solutions. Fuller spent the past decade working in Ohio in various leadership roles for J.P. Morgan Chase. She will eventually be relocating to Northwest Arkansas. Fuller's position is new at Arvest. According to the company, the new division is part of the bank's multi-year transformation strategy which includes adopting a next-generation core banking platform and enhancing digital payments and services capabilities. We've got more on that story online on our website at nwabusinessjournal.com. We've got home building executive Aaron Wilkerson after the break. That's on today's Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report.
Support for the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report is provided by the Arkansas State Chamber of Commerce and Associated Industries of Arkansas. The Chamber's mission is to promote a pro-business, free enterprise agenda and prevent legislation, regulation, and rules that hinder business. ArkansasStateChamber.com. Arkansas Blue Cross and Blue Shield. For more than 70 years, Arkansas Blue Cross and Blue Shield has used its knowledge and compassion to create healthcare solutions for individuals and businesses. More information at ArkansasBlueCross.com. First Security is proud to be only in Arkansas. They offer smart solutions for personal and business banking, plus convenient services and community investment. First Security, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Aaron Wilkerson is the owner of Constellation Properties. It's a licensed commercial and residential general contractor operating throughout Northwest Arkansas. Wilkerson is a Rogers native who has lived elsewhere before relocating back to the region a few years ago and launching his home building business in 2017. I spoke with him recently for some perspective about the market right now and what issues home builders are facing.
Most of the builders that I talk to are pretty upbeat in terms of their prospects for the next few years. There are some supply chain challenges which have put a damper on things to some extent. But I think there's a general sense that our local market, Northwest Arkansas, will it'll be strong for the foreseeable future. I mean, if you take a step back and look at it, we've got a strong jobs and employment base. We've got an incredibly strong and unique public and private, amount of investment coming into our communities. And then as it stands right now, I mean, there's no shortage of qualified buyers. And so I think the one piece that most small or mid-sized builders express as their biggest concern is probably lack of land, more specifically developed lots that's available. I think the infrastructure, those sorts of things.
What are the serious issues right now that home builders are facing in the region? You say there's an inventory shortage. We know that the supply chain issues, materials costs, namely lumber. Would you just simply say yes, all of the above?
Yeah, I think all of the above, right? I think if you were to stack rank those, the inventory shortage in terms of land and lots to build housing on, at least from a home builder perspective, is probably the biggest challenge. You've got transitory challenges, to use a word that the Fed's been using lately, in terms of the supply chain and some other things there. But I think overall, if you're looking at, what's going to drive the availability for homes coming out of the ground, I think it's going to be that land piece.
But Northwest Arkansas, as you know, is going to be one of the fastest growing regions in the country for the foreseeable future. We report the lack of inventory storyline, and people ask, well, then why aren't home builders just building more homes? So there's a demand there. So what is your answer to that question?
Yeah, that's an interesting question and a tough question. I mean, I think when you sort of think about the algorithm to bring a home to the point where, the new owners have their keys in hand, there's a long cycle and a lot of time, energy, and money that goes into that. So when you're talking about bringing together land that you can find that has the entitlements and the utilities and those sorts of things at a reasonable price, or being able to get them at a reasonable price, when you're talking about bringing together the capital that's needed to improve that, validating the vision for the property, all of those things may take an enormous amount of time and energy and money, and that's before you ever put a shovel in the ground, right? So once you look at it, the process of bringing a project to life, it can be relatively straightforward, but again, I think it all goes back to the land and the availability of the utilities at a price that makes sense.
So you're using an analogy that involves algorithms, and you're talking about numbers. So I know you keep up with numbers. What numbers do you or data do you keep up with to give you really a feel of the market? How do you take the market pulse on a given day? Is it the inventory? Is it the rising cost of home sales, which we report on many times? What do you need to know as a home builder?
Sure. Well, it's the inputs, depending on how you, there's inputs and outputs, right? So the inputs would be on the cost side, at least the way we define it. And then the outputs would be sort of what do we think the reasonable end of the day sales price could be, and how can we bring this to market for a home buyer? We watch both, right? So we start certainly with our land position, and we're fortunate enough to have a decent land position at this point. And so we kind of, that piece is set. When it comes to budgeting to bring a new project, and this is true on both custom side as well as your production or more speculative side, the budgets have gotten very difficult. We're seeing consistent price rises. We're seeing, products not available and having to be swapped out for different, oftentimes more expensive products. So those inputs are challenging right now, and I think you rely on your expertise to some extent and or getting quotes. But I think the numbers we watch are going to be our cost inputs, certainly land being a big one of those, and then kind of the bigger cost inputs, the more expensive ones. I mean, there's some smaller ones that you can kind of guess at, and it's not too difficult if you're off a little. But and then so that'll get you to sort of having a final cost. And then the question becomes, can you maintain the margin that you need to on the sell side to cover the cost of doing business, make a reasonable profit on it, and also make it be something that's, going to be viable in the marketplace. So I think it's, with home prices rising, I've heard and read, folks thinking that, that there's just a lot more profit being made on the sell side, and it's not true, really. It's the challenge that we're having is also on the cost side as well. So it's been an interesting time, to say the least. But I think at the end of the day, we're seeing a market here that is still functioning reasonably well. There's a ton of demand, and that tells me that folks want to be in the area, and folks want to take advantage of interest rates while they're low and ultimately live the American dream of owning their own home.
And that is home builder Aaron Wilkerson, who owns Constellation Properties in Bentonville. He said the company just completed a land deal to buy a couple dozen single-family lots in the Annika Estates subdivision in Centerton. He expects to complete between 5 and 10 of those new homes by the end of the year. Over at NWABusinessJournal.com this week, we've got a story up on the success of Bold Strategies in Rogers. The e-commerce marketing and sales consultant is growing like gangbusters. The business was founded 4 years ago and, according to one industry magazine, is now the fastest growing private company in Arkansas. And we've also got a profile of John Whitaker, who works in Rogers for the data analytics and retail technology firm Inmar Intelligence. Whitaker shares his perspective on the transition from being a one-time professional golfer several years ago to the business world and how those lessons apply to the work he does today at Inmar. You can check out those stories and more at nwabusinessjournal.com, and then you can bookmark that page to follow our reporting each and every day. I'm Paul Gatling, and that is the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report. Until next time, thanks for listening.
This is Ozarks at Large. With me on a screen in my office is Timothy Dennis, who's going to get us up to date on as much live music as we can pack into one segment. Happy Thursday, Timothy.
Happy Thursday, Kyle. Happening tonight in Fayetteville. If you listened to the show last week, you may already know this. Sunvolt is going to be on stage at George's Majestic Lounge.
I wonder if there's a ticket left.
According to listings, yesterday afternoon late, yes.
Okay.
Tickets are $20. Gets underway 8:30 this evening. Again, that's at George's Majestic Lounge in Fayetteville. Moving on to tomorrow night, George's Majestic Lounge in Fayetteville, their happy hour show is going to feature the Cape Brothers.
Well, it's Texas weekend, so of course it's going to feature the Cape Brothers.
The only thing that would be more appropriate would be Zorro and the Blue Footballs, but that's not even possible now.
Right. I was thinking that as you said it, yes.
Tickets for that show are $10. According to Stubbs, that show risks selling out, which tracks to me. It's a happy hour show, so it starts at 6 o'clock tomorrow evening. Again, that's at George's in downtown Fayetteville. Moving up north, Fred's Hickory Inn in Bentonville is going to have One Penny Shy on stage.
I'll rest my head upon a pillow by the bank of the river as it flows from the night into the day. The river as it flows from the night into the day.
That show gets underway at 7 o'clock again. That's at Fred's Hickory Inn tomorrow night in Bentonville. The Friday night show at Rail Yard Live is going to feature hip-hop legend Murs, M-U-R-S.
With the way that we bang, not the rips and the dogs, man, the smog might kill you. But you ain't gotta worry if you're staying north of Wilshire. Don't be scared of Crenshaw, the Slauson Supermall, or Earl's Hot Dogs. Man, you gotta do it, y'all. Come on, come to the hood where we do the most good. Magic Johnson be owning everything like he should. Linwood, Long Beach, Hawthorne, Gardena, from the towers in Watts to the hills of Altadena, the home of the traffic and that gangbang culture. And I hope the way we do the damn thing.
That show gets underway at 8 o'clock. Again, that is at Rail Yard Live, the Butterfield Stage in downtown Rogers. Moving over to the east, the Gravel Bar in Eureka Springs is going to have Jenna Mel Nikki and Tony Alvarez on stage. If you're unfamiliar, Jenna and Tony, they're part of Jenna and the Soul Shakers. That show at the Gravel Bar, it gets underway at 7 o'clock. Again, that's tomorrow night at the Gravel Bar in Eureka Springs. Still in Eureka Springs Friday night, Got a Hole Brewing is going to have the Michael Wouters Project. Michael is a jazz and pop pianist from Amsterdam, but he lives in Eureka Springs now. He's performing in this group with Del Kellison.
I stray each day, your eyes appall before me. Our bond truly a boon, for I'm a child of the moon. My mood is dark and forms of haze, cutting off all senses, irrational.
All right.
That show in the beer garden at Got a Hole Brewing gets underway at 5 o'clock. Again, that's tomorrow night in Eureka Springs. Now, moving on to Saturday night. George's Majestic Lounge in Fayetteville. Actually, this is a Saturday afternoon show. John Dooley is going to have a free afternoon show at George's Majestic Lounge.
Well, I feel like I'm close, getting mine, putting polish on a rock, trying to make it shine.
What time is that?
That show gets underway at 1 o'clock. Again, it is free, and that's Saturday afternoon at George's in downtown Fayetteville.
Because you'll just have these tens of thousands of people marching down Dixon Street towards the stadium for that game, and they can pop in,
right,
and chill for a second and go on.
Right.
Yeah.
A little bit later in the afternoon in Fayetteville, if you listened to the show yesterday, you're probably already aware about this. There's going to be a show at Prairie Street Live featuring Ley Lines, Garden Snakes, Moon Song, Fight Dream, and No Sweater.
All for a great cause.
All for a great cause. They're raising money for someone who's very close to them, who has cancer, trying to help give some proceeds to that cause. Tickets at the door are $25. That will get underway at 4 o'clock Saturday at Prairie Street Live in Fayetteville. Still in Fayetteville Saturday, there's going to be kind of a hard rock and metal show at Nomad's Trailside featuring Kingdom Falls and Agony Incorporated.
Waste your time. It's condescending.
I just like that name.
I mean, it's a great name. It's an absolutely great name.
It is a great name, yes. Yes, it is.
That show gets underway at 9 o'clock Saturday evening. Again, that's at Nomad's Trailside in Midtown Fayetteville. Moving up north to Rogers, Rogers Public Library is going to have Straight Facts perform. It's part of the collaboration between Music Moves and Crystal Bridges, part of Crystal Bridges Mobile Art Lab. Straight Facts is a U of A jazz trio featuring Jake Herzog, Lauren Clare, and Asher Perkins. That show at Rogers Public Library gets underway at 5 o'clock Saturday afternoon. Still in Rogers Saturday, one of my favorite local acts is going to be on stage at Railroad Live, Dylan Earl.
I'm at a loss for the words that you taught me, but I never thought them as a wasted life. And it was never untrue, the love between us two, but it was me.
Yeah, that'll be free.
It is free. It's at Rail Yard Live. That'll get underway at 8 o'clock Saturday night. Then Sunday, George's Majestic Lounge in Fayetteville is going to have a show that features funky dance music and electronica. They are going to feature the Denver-based band Float Like a Buffalo, and they call themselves, quote, horn-driven ska, funk, reggae rock. How'd you know where I was gonna be? A little surprised, your eyes wanted me. Clever disguise for a woman out on the prowl. Out till sunrise, get out of here and hit the town. They are joined on that bill by Cadillac Jackson. That'll get underway at 8:30 Sunday evening. Again, that's at George's in Fayetteville. Moving on to Tuesday, 612 Coffee House in Fayetteville is going to have Jeffrey Dallet on stage, D-A-L-L-E-T. I think I am some kind of a bookworm, a couple of phone calls and a law firm later. I got the degree to silence the haters who just don't work as hard as I do. So let's all rise and salute them, heap some mad respect unto them. The more you have, the less you pay for too. Let's all celebrate the lies that set anyone to free enterprise. That show gets underway at 7 o'clock Tuesday evening. Again, that's at 612 Coffee House in Fayetteville. And then one final thing to mention, Tuesday evening, in Springdale, there's a new monthly community open mic and mentorship program hosted by the hip-hop performer Murs, who we mentioned a few minutes ago, and it's in collaboration with Cash.
Ah, and where does this take? Oh, does it take place at what used to be the ACO?
I believe so. It's 214 South Main Street in Springdale. Yeah. So yeah, it's at the ACO.
Yeah.
That gets underway at 6 p.m. Tuesday evening in downtown Springdale, and that'll take care of us for the next several days.
And as we sometimes say, and we'll say right now, if we missed you or your venue, let us know.
Absolutely. You can email us, Kyle at KUAF.com, Timothy at KUAF.com, Ozarks at large at gmail.com, or reach out to us on Facebook.
There you go. Or leave us a note at 9 South School.
Yeah. Just don't try smoke signals, because I can't interpret
them. That's right. We won't be able to. Timothy Dennis keeps us up to date with live music. And Timothy, thank you very much.
Thank you, Kyle.
Museum of Native American History presents Knowledge is Out There. The Solution is in You, a contest seeking sustainable solutions for our planet. September 15th is the submission deadline for proposals, essays, comic, video, or radio plays. Categories include kids under 15 and those over 15. Winners will be announced during the 5th annual cultural celebration. monah.us for details. NWA Equality helps Theater Squared kick off their new production of Designing Women with the Designing Women Drag Dinner at the Fayetteville Public Library on Sunday, September 12th, beginning at 4 p.m. A ticket link and details are available at nwaequality.org.
This is Ozarks at Large. Last week, local nonprofit Pedal It Forward and the University of Arkansas Office of Sustainability distributed free bicycles to 20 international students on the U of A campus in Fayetteville. Ozarks at Large's Daniel Gruth brings us this postcard from that event.
Are you sure?
I can go lower.
Do you want to try it right here and then decide, maybe?
My name is Arda, and I'm studying on food science. I'm a PhD student. It's been a month since I arrived in the U.S., and I'm coming from Turkey. I was a bike rider when I was living in my small hometown. It's one of the most enjoyable things for me, biking, but it's been more than 10 years since the last time I biked. So the moment I saw Fayetteville, then I realized this is a really bikeable place. So then I applied for this generous giveaway of Pedal It Forward. So here I am with my bike. I'm pretty content. Yeah. I mean, having a vehicle, it doesn't necessarily have to be a car. It gives you freedom now because, you know, relying on public transportation might be a little problematic, especially in Northwest Arkansas. I'm so sorry to hear that because, you know, my department is a couple of miles away from Central Campus on food science. So I always have to wait for a bus to come and get me. But from now on, I'm free.
Other way around. Turn it around, yeah. Sorry, I'm giving it to you back to front. Here we go.
Kenny Williams, I'm the program director of Pedal It Forward NWA. You know, we're a nonprofit charity that gives away recycled bikes, and so today we've identified 20 international students that are here studying for the semester or for the year who needed some reliable transportation or recreation opportunities. And so we've identified those 20 students, and we are delivering their bikes today to them. The ISS, the International Students and Scholars, immediately came to mind as an opportunity because it's a population that travels a long way to get here and isn't maybe immediately presented with a reliable form of transportation. And so we figured we would offer bikes first to those who are new to Northwest Arkansas and might need them most.
Fire him and he's going to fire me if we don't.
Yeah. Here's one for Madison, too.
My name is Namiko Bagimbano, and I work in ISS office, International Students and Scholars Office. Yeah, so I started to talk to my colleague within the department. I got to know about the Pedal It Forward, and I was like, wow, this organization is really cool. And I also just moved back to Fayetteville in March, and I got to know the growing culture around the bike as well. And my role in the office is really helping new international students coming to the campus and then really adjusting to the culture and life in here. For us, it's really important, again, to share the culture and then also assist the new students to get used to the life and also be part of the community like this. So I think that's the reason why we wanted to help. So
you have a coaster brake, so you pedal backwards to stop, right?
Oh, so we have to pedal backwards to stop it?
Yes, the brake, because you see there's no brakes here. Uh-huh. So you pedal backwards and it stops.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you for coming.
And Daniel Caruth's reporting originates from the Karen Taha News Studio at the Carver Center for Public Radio. This is Ozarks at Large.
This is Leah Uribe, Associate Professor at the University of Arkansas Music Department, expanding our musical boundaries with Sound Perimeter. We open Sound Perimeter today with composer Adina Izarra and her piece from 1986 for solo piccolo, Plumismo. Izarra, born in Caracas, Venezuela, has a special affection for birds. This piece marks the first time the composer includes birdsong in her works and is the beginning of an aesthetic she has followed and explored over the last decades. The title, Plumismo, is a made-up word that reminds us of a pluma or feather. This piece is performed here by Argentinian piccolo and flute player Cecilia Peel. That was Venezuelan composer Adina Izarra and her piece from 1986 for solo piccolo, Plumismo. American composer Viery Coleman is known for her contributions to the chamber music repertoire and as the former flute player and founder member of the Imani Winds. Coleman wrote Danza de la Mariposa in 2011. This piece is a depiction of the flight of a South American butterfly. When listening to this excerpt, pay special attention to the use of extended techniques or unconventional ways of playing the flute to create new colors and dimensions. You may hear the flute player singing while playing, some tongue percussion effects, or distorted sounds that will sound like chords or multiphonics. This performance is by Iranian flutist Mehrdad Golami. Close Sound Perimeter today with one of the first flute pieces I ever heard and fell in love with as a young music student, Sentimental, from Suite for Flute and Jazz Piano by French composer Claude Bolling. My memories are from pre-CD times, and I remember rewinding my cassette tape to listen to this movement again and again. This movement, one of seven, starts indeed with a sentimental, dreamy, and warm mood that becomes later jazzy and lighter when the bass and the drums enter. Bolling wrote this piece in 1973 for renowned flute player Jean-Pierre Rampal. Today we're listening to a vinyl version from its first recording back in 1975, featuring the composer Claude Bolling in the piano, Rampal in the flute, Marcel Sabiani in the drums, and Max Hediger in the bass. Uribe, Associate Professor at the University of Arkansas Music Department, expanding our musical boundaries with Sound Perimeter. See you next week.
Tomorrow on our show, the Fayetteville Public Library has long been about more than just books. We'll find out how the library has created a citizenship hub to help people applying to become citizens, and how an innovation center offers classes to learn how to drive heavy machinery or a plane. That's tomorrow at noon and 7 on KUAF and at KUAF.com and streaming live on the KUAF app.
Ozarks at Large is underwritten, in part, by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation. Washington Regional, named the number one hospital in Arkansas by U.S. News & World Report, offers compassionate, quality health care to patients while supporting its team of professional caregivers, continuously growing to meet the changing needs of the community. Washington Regional, nationally recognized care, here for you.
And before we leave you on this Thursday, a reminder that the 24-hour statewide phone number available for AR Connect through UAMS for mental health services is 800-482-9921. This is KUAF Fayetteville, Ozarks at Large, a production of KUAF. Contributors on this Thursday show included Matthew Moore, Timothy Dennis, Daniel Carruth, Leo Uribe. Timothy Dennis also produced today's show and today's edition of Sound Perimeter. The Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report with Paul Gatling is produced by Stephanie Brock. It's part of our continuing partnership with Talk Business and Politics. You can find out more at talkbusiness.net. Our theme, written and performed by Daryl Sean. From the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio, I'm Kyle Kellums. Please be safe. We'll talk again very soon.